Hi, it's JC with the top 5 reasons you should watch all the big games at Hooters instead of at home. Number 1, our nearly world-famous wings, shaken in your favorite wing sauce. You just can't duplicate that. 2, pitchers of beer served ice-cold at your table so you don't miss any of the action. 3 and 4, Hooters delicious seafood and sandwiches. And number 5, all the food and fun served up by the world-famous Hooters girls, of course. See you at Hooters.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, and yes, it's presented by Hooters. Last night, we got together for the regular season finale of fantasy football between Seahawks and Vikings at Hooters on Hillsborough Avenue in Tampa, the same place where we had the draft back in August, had representatives there from all 4 of the leagues I commission. Thanks to Bobby Pena, thanks to Camila, who was one of our servers back in August for the draft. We had a good group last night. As a matter of fact, much of this podcast is a recap of a redraft that we executed last night at our regular season finale watch party. Thank you, Hooters, for being the presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. 3 years running. I hope you'll come back in 2020. As all of my players love coming to the restaurant, and we feel very at home there for fantasy football. So last night, and I hope you find this interesting, think about this in your own way, that if you were asked today to redraft a team for the next 3 weeks for the fantasy playoffs, how do you approach it? Who's on your board? Who's off your board? That's what I challenged my owners to do last night, each as representatives of leagues. And here is what we came up with. So we did a blind draw for positions in the draft. And basically, I set it up this way. I said, all right, here's what we're going to do. You're going to draft a team of 10 players. No bench. There will be no waivers. If you get a player hurt, that's it. They're hurt. You can't replace them the next week. So you're drafting 10 guys to play for the fantasy playoffs, week 14, 15, and 16. And you need to avoid being the lowest scoring team each week. For example, if you are the lowest scoring team in week 14 this week coming up, in survivor terms, I snuff your torch. You're out. And then we're down to 3 for week 15. If you are the lowest that week from just that week, there's no carryover. You're out, leaving us a head-to-head championship week 16, winner take all. So based on that, and I said my standard scoring with the way I run my leagues, I don't need to go through that again. You've heard it a million times. But with 2 quarterbacks, 3 running backs, 3 wide receivers or tight ends, that wide receiver slash T, there was one tight end taken. You can probably guess who it was. And 2 place kickers. And again, there are no waivers, no substitutions. These are the 10, and you're trying to win over the next 3 weeks. But you've got to produce each week to stay alive. So a 4-round snake draft. Again, the leagues, the Hall of Fame Fantasy League picked first, followed by the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy League. Then my personal foundation league, which is in year 5. It predated the podcast. And then the Moneyball League, which I represented, picked 4th. So here was the first round. HFFL selected McCaffrey, number 1. Todd Wright Tour Fantasy selected Lamar Jackson, number 2. The Foundation selected Mahomes at 3, and then myself representing Moneyball with back-to-back picks at 4 and 5, I went ahead and hammered out my quarterbacks, knowing how much the top quarterbacks have dominated explosive scoring in fantasy this year, and I went ahead and took Rodgers and Deshaun Watson at 4 and 5. The Foundation followed up with the sixth overall pick with Ezekiel Elliott. So he was the second running back off the board, which to me is telling, because I've highlighted this for a few weeks now. There have been others, just not Chris Sims, and I still don't know what game he's watching half the time, who say Elliott's been a disappointment. He just went second in a redraft of fantasy running backs. Second. That was followed by Derrick Henry, who, what have I been saying for the 4 years of this podcast? That the Titans have totally underused a Heisman Trophy winning running back. This year, they did not. And he's at 1,750 yards and among the league leaders in touchdowns. Henry went seventh overall to the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy League. Dalvin Cook went eighth. Yes, before Cook got hurt last night early in the second half. So that's a danger for HFFL. But the top four running backs to go were McCaffrey, Zeke, Henry, and Cook. In the third round, Hall of Fame took Russell Wilson as the fifth quarterback off the board. That sounds about right. Todd Wright Tour Fantasy, 10th overall pick, Mark Ingram. So they paired up Lamar Jackson and Mark Ingram. Sensible move. Mike Evans was the first receiver taken. Also, very sensible, even though it was just, what, a 5-for-40 game, and similar to Godwin against the Jaguars, Evans has been at or near the top of fantasy production at wide receiver all season. Then I had the next two picks, last pick of the third round. I already have my quarterbacks, so I hammered out two running backs. Aaron Jones, pairing him with Aaron Rodgers, and Nick Chubb, who even despite all the Browns' problems and the reintroduction of Kareem Hunt to the NFL, Chubb's value has not dipped. He has a high floor every game. He's just a very effective runner that you don't worry about. And obviously the Browns, granted they lost to the Steelers, but the Browns have done more things offensively in the last month. Chubb's done them all year. Following my pick of Chubb, the same team representing the foundation that took Evans took Godwin. So they paired up Evans and Godwin as their top two wide receivers. Michael Thomas went next to the Todd Wright Tour Fantasy League in the fourth round, followed by DeAndre Hopkins to the Hall of Fame Fantasy League. Fifth round, Hall of Fame took Tyreek Hill. Todd Wright Tour took Josh Jacobs as their third and final running back. So their three running backs, Henry, Ingram, and Jacobs. The foundation took the only tight end in the draft. They took Travis Kelce, so their pass catchers at the wide receiver tight end are Evans, Godwin, and Kelce. And then I went ahead with the last pick in the fifth round and decided I'm going to get my last running back here. So I took Alvin Kamara. And granted, Kamara hasn't had a rushing touchdown in forever. But we're at that point of the season now where clearly the Saints are going to win the NFC South, and they're going to be pretty serious about getting that first round bye. And it's really about three guys doing most of the work offensively in New Orleans: Breeze, Thomas, and Kamara. Albeit I've said throughout the last month on the podcast, Latavius Murray has value, and I'm not surprised Sean Payton is using him for some designed running plays. He's not going to come out and say that Murray is more effective than Kamara on those plays, but there is value in Murray. But still, Kamara is going to touch the ball, what, a minimum of 10 to 12 times a game. And he can do significant damage via receptions, even if he's not going to get those short rushing touchdowns. I opened the sixth round with my first receiver, Devontae Adams. Why not? Since becoming healthy and off a two-touchdown game in the snow in the Meadowlands, Adams is clearly the guy who's going to be targeted not only in the red zone, but just downfield by Aaron Rodgers as Green Bay pushes for a first-round bye and a division title, helped now by Minnesota's Monday night loss. I found it interesting that the foundation took Todd Gurley next. Gurley became their second running back selected. Sure, the Rams are coming off a blow-up game against the Arizona Cardinals, but that was the first pick that I wondered about, albeit one of the owners in the foundation, a great friend of mine, made the same investment on Gurley in the league this year individually, so he had a lot to do with making the pick of Gurley there. That was followed by Kenny Golladay, who may be, actually, I think his numbers did dip with Driscoll, but he had a blow-up game with Blau on Thanksgiving. So that was Todd Wright Tor's second wide receiver taken. And then Hall of Fame took Saquon Barkley as their final running back, which I thought was interesting. Thinking that a healthy Barkley in this last month will be putting up numbers, I, of course, drafted him in the Moneyball League number one overall. And I think I speak for all of you in any league that drafted Barkley number one overall. We have nothing negative to say about the individual. It's just not been worth the number one overall pick. Granted, this is pick overall number 24 to show how far Barkley has fallen, and even I question whether or not he's worth the 24th overall pick. Seventh round went Lockett before he zeroed last night, even in a Seattle win. Will Lutz was first kicker off the board. Now you have to take two kickers. The Todd Wright Tor Fantasy League clearly felt Lutz was worth taking before they took their last wide receiver and their last quarterback. Fournette went pretty late. Third pick in the seventh round, so 27th overall was Fournette, final running back to the foundation. I think that's pretty good value. I think you could easily flip Fournette up to the sixth round and Gurley to the seventh, and it would look better, but they got them both. Then I was up in the seventh round with the 28th overall pick. I hammered out my last two receivers. I took Edelman just because Brady has no one else to throw to, and again, high floor theory. And then I went with a very, very hot player. Devontae Parker was my last wide receiver selected. Coming off a big game against the Eagles. You know, clearly, Fitzmagic has another revenge game coming up. He does well in those revenge games. What else do the Dolphins have? So I'm trying to find another. I got Barkley as a player on a bad team that was drafted before Parker, but Parker's just been that hot that I felt he was worth the risk. Taking him at number 29 overall as my third wide receiver. Jameis Winston went 30th to the foundation as their last quarterback. Cooper Kupp went 31st to the Todd Wright Tor Fantasy League as their final wide receiver. Pick number 32 was Dak Prescott. Interestingly, Amari Cooper was not selected. One of the highest producing wide receivers, and didn't even do that bad against Tre'Davious White on Thanksgiving, but Cooper was not chosen. Dak Prescott was 32nd overall, second quarterback for the team with Russell Wilson, the Hall of Fame Fantasy League. Hall of Fame Fantasy League then opened the ninth round, taking Justin Tucker. Here come all the kickers. Matt Gay went next, bit of a homer pick for the Todd Wright Tor Fantasy League, especially considering they were 8 days away from Gay missing three extra points. Foundation took Butker. Then I took Fairbairn, followed by Prater. I almost took Mason Crosby there to have a Packer at every position, but Prater will be in more climate-controlled conditions than Crosby will. Zuerlein went next. Followed by Josh Allen was the last non-kicker selected. That's a good choice for a second quarterback. So the Todd Wright Tor Fantasy League went Lamar Jackson second overall. And then with their last pick in the 10th round, they took Josh Allen, who has not only led the Bills to a playoff berth, but he's become a very, very respectable fantasy quarterback overall. And then Elliott was the last kicker taken by the Hall of Fame Fantasy League as the 40th pick overall. So there's the redraft we did last night, where you had to have two quarterbacks, three running backs, three wide receivers, or a tight end, and two place kickers. Just be thinking on your own. If you were redrafting right now and got a second chance for the playoffs, you know, who wouldn't be on your board at all? Think of some of the names that were not mentioned in these 40 picks. No David Johnson. No Le'Veon Bell. No Adam Thielen. No Amari Cooper. No Baker Mayfield. No Odell Beckham Jr. I thought about Jarvis Landry instead of Devontae Parker. Couldn't do it. Because Landry shares targets with Hunt and Beckham. Parker shares targets with Laird and Allen Hurns. Trying to think of other players. No one took Diggs. Yeah, that one was interesting. That name kept coming up throughout the draft, but no one took him. No one took Kirk Cousins either. No Niners on the list. The obvious Chiefs big three, but no Sony Michel on this list either. Trying to think of any others that might have garnered consideration, or it's just very telling. I'm just kind of going through the divisions here. Seeing if I can find anything that stands out. No Keenan Allen, no Melvin Gordon, no Austin Eckler, no Zach Ertz. And let's see. Galladay was the only Lion. That's sensible. If you believe in Blau going forward, I'm trying to think. I took all the Packers. And no Kyler Murray. That name did come up, but in the end, eight quarterbacks were selected. Kyler was not one of them. Probably would have been if not for the hamstring injury and the horrible game against the Rams. I would imagine Kyler Murray might have been the choice for someone's second quarterback rather than the eight names that were selected. And no Falcons, no Calvin Ridley. Julio Jones has the shoulder issue, was not picked. So read into that what you want. Another unique element of what I do here on the podcast and through my podcast leagues. And it's something that I thought you would enjoy sort of looking at and maybe thinking on your own what you might have done if you were asked to redraft similarly that many players at those four positions for the next 3 weeks, knowing you cannot sub them out for injury, performance, or otherwise. Those were the 40 players selected by representatives of all four of my leagues. I'll get you another fantasy podcast before your playoffs begin later this week, maybe before the Thursday night game between the Cowboys and the Bears. Actually, let's go ahead and do that now. Keep an eye on Akeem Hicks and whether or not he's going to play for the Bears on Thursday night. The Bears' defense, especially against the run, has not been the same since he's been injured. If news on him suggests he's going to play, look, you're not going to bench Ezekiel Elliott, but you might have to temper your expectations for Ezekiel Elliott based on Hicks's status. It's another tough spot for the Cowboys. I've benched Dak and Cooper each of the last 2 weeks. It was the right move in week 12. It wasn't the right move in week 13, especially for Dak, who even in a losing effort put up in standard scoring leagues 20 fantasy points despite, wasn't there a pick six? Pick six are similar. Obviously, I'm blurring some of the images out from that loss, although I predicted Buffalo would win. It's not a great matchup again for Dak and Cooper, and if Hicks is back, it's not a great game for Elliott. Cobb has more DFS value. Same can be said for Michael Gallup. Probably not season-long value in that game. From the Bears' standpoint, maybe Montgomery who had a bounce back game, much as Miles Sanders had a bounce back game for Philadelphia, even in a loss to the Dolphins. The rookies showed a little bit despite the conversation and even me talking about how they might have hit a rookie wall. Josh Jacobs might be lumped into that too. Although he did have a 100-yard game and had to reestablish it three times against Kansas City, but it was kind of a ceiling, and then he got game flowed out once the Chiefs got up 2-3 scores late in that game against the Raiders on Sunday. For those of you that own Allen Robinson, sure, you can play him. He is clearly the target of choice for Mitchell Trubisky. It's not easy to get points out of Allen Robinson, but he is someone that has value, and if you've been playing him, I can see you wanting to play him on Thursday night against Dallas, which at this point, I don't know where the Cowboys' mindset is. I'm not sure how many of those guys are really on board with Jason Garrett and where this team is headed. Even if they win the division, they still have a game lead, and it's basically a game and a half on the Eagles. I just don't think it's a good situation for Dallas. And then they would play, I believe it's the Rams after that, back home. But just for Thursday night, there just aren't a lot of great plays. But if you're looking for a floor play, I guess it would be Prescott, Elliott, Allen Robinson, and you might be able to get away with Montgomery in that game on Thursday night. You might. Send me your emails at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. We'll get you another fantasy podcast later in the week. Thanks to all of my owners who came out last night for a regular season finale at Hooters. Thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship, and we'll talk to you next time.